You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Ask me no question, I tell you no lie.
And Daryl.
Run away, little girl. Run away.
Greetings and welcome to episode 151 of The Training Dummies, recorded on January 11th, 2017. My name is Daryl, and with me as always is my co-host Rob. How are you doing this evening, Rob?
Yeah, I thought you were going to go on about your accomplishment a little bit there.
Oh, I suppose I could have done that.
If you don't do that, I'll go on about something.
Okay, go on about something. I'll leave that for the shout-outs, because that's where it's deserved.
I have just hit my 11th 110, and I'm almost done with the class campaign for that. And then following that, I've got my final countdown. I got the druid, saved the worst for last, and I will be leveling the druid to 110 and then getting that campaign done. And then, as far as I understand, there will be an achievement, and then I will get a care package from Blizzard and an apology letter or something. I don't know. But, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's crazy, though. Would you say 11 out of the 12?
Everything but the druid so far.
And you finished all the campaigns. That's crazy.
Yeah, so the 110 and the campaigns and all the artifact weapons.
Wow. You've been busy. I guess that's a good segue. Someone else who's going to be busy here right away. We have, as our guest this evening, Mystical, who is the author of Deadly Boss Mods. So let's give a big Training Dummies welcome for Mystical. How you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing good, thank you.
You know, I'm sitting there talking for like a minute straight, and I realize my takes on. Hey, we don't edit, but dude, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Mystical. We really appreciate it. I know you are, like Daryl said, you are about to be ridiculously busy, and the fact that we can snag you now for a little conversation is super awesome. So I really, really appreciate you taking time to come and chat with us.
Always happy to guest and talk with people willing to ask questions.
You have probably one of the most, I don't know if required is the right word, but one of the most go-to popular add-ons in WoW history. So is that a lot of work to keep up something like that?
Oh, definitely.
So what we're going to do before we get into the DBM talk, though, we'll get to know you a little bit and see how you're doing and what's going on in your life. What, when, where, how did you start playing, and what is your current main?
I started playing in BC when a mutual friend on MySpace recommended that I play WoW, and I was like, sure, why not? So I started playing WoW in BC, and I didn't really do much seriously, you know, just dungeons, casual raiding like Kira and stuff. And then late BC, I got more into raiding, which of course I started downloading add-ons like DBM and stuff, which... Back then, add-ons are still pretty simple because encounters are pretty simple. But I went from BC to Wrath when I actually started raiding more seriously. And it was mid to late Wrath when I actually took over DBM because the original author was actually quitting the game and it had no maintainer left. And I've done all that ever since and improved DBM substantially since then. And my current main has always been my warrior. I started my warrior, and I've never played like anything else seriously. I have several alts, but I've always played my prop warrior since I started in BC.
I completely respect somebody who can stick with one character.
Me too. I used to be that guy.
Something that I can do.
What is the origin of the name Mystical or Mystical OS?
Back in the AOL dial-up days, because I'm an old man and stuff, I couldn't come up with a screen name, so I asked my friend for help, and, you know, he was, you know, big into rap or something. His favorite rapper at the time was actually Mystical. I'm like, well, I like the word Mystical, but not that context. I'm actually going to use the other Mystical instead. And then OS was just, you know, a geeky high schooler, you know, saying Mystical Operating System, so I just tagged them together for Mystical OS for short, and that's just been my tag ever since.
What would you say is your most fond memory in or because of gaming?
Honestly, it was actually probably the early days, you know, earlier computers, you know, high school, playing Lord Runner with one of my best friends, like, all the time.
Nice.
You know, I had an old Mac that came with Lord Runner, Mad Monk's Revenge, like, with the computer. And I was just playing that constantly with him because you can build your own levels and play two-player on the same keyboard. And just had a lot of fun playing that for many hours, like, every day. And then designing our own levels and replaying our own levels and creating our own little battlegrounds. Even though it wasn't a PvP game, we pretty much created levels just so we could kill each other. Even though the context of the game was to, like, help each other win the level, mm-hmm. We'd battle it in the level instead for, like, an hour.
Nice. I haven't heard even the name Lord Runner in probably 25 years. Like, I played that game a lot as well on, an Apple 2E or 2C, one of them. But yeah, I remember that game very well. That's amazing.
Just a side topic, but it's actually a fan has actually rewritten the game from scratch and has a modern game or modern version that runs on modern versions of the computer. I actually downloaded that and it still opens the classic levels and everything, including the levels I made with my friend.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. What would you say are your top two favorite Blizzard titles?
Probably Diablo 2 and I guess WoW.
Man, Diablo 2 is not one you hear very often, but I used to love the heck out of that game. I was lightning sorceress build all day, man.
I had a frost source mostly, but I also had the piercing Amazon before they nerfed it really badly, and then the hammered in, which became the ultimate uber, you know, build.
I had a buddy who tried to set me up with a bot that would, like, do these runs for you, and then he's like, you just run it all night, and then when you wake up in the morning, you go and you got all this loot. It's so great, man. So funny how far that's come, because, like, there's no way in the world you would do anything like that now, or, like, I wouldn't do that, you know, with that risk of getting banned and whatnot. What would you say is your favorite raid boss of all time?
That's a tough one, but honestly, I think I actually liked Magtheridon, you know, the cubes. It was such a simple yet important mechanic.
Magtheridon, I'm drawing a blank right now. What raid is that from?
That's PC. You had to click the 5 cubes simultaneously to interrupt his Nova, or the raid died.
Oh, I wasn't really raiding in Burning Crusade. That's probably why I don't remember that.
Yeah, and these days, they don't even realize the cubes are there. They just walk in there and whack him a couple times, and he falls over. So,
well, yeah, there's that, too. What would you say is your favorite thing about Legion so far?
I honestly think they did a really good job with world quests and just overall making the world more important than just AFKing in a garrison.
You know, we were talking with a buddy right before we started tonight, and he was talking about how he actually really liked the garrisons because they were such a massive source of gold. And you know, you just log in on your alts, fire off some missions, and come back. And he paid for, you know, 2 years of his sub by doing that. And it's almost like that's gone now. And I think people are looking back at that. At the time, seemed like it was kind of awful. But kind of looking back at that and going, oh, man, I kind of missed that a little bit. Do you feel like you miss the garrison stuff at all, or are you kind of good riddance to it, or do you like the evolution of it with the class halls?
I don't like class halls at all. Like, I see what they were trying to go with it, but I feel like they kind of failed, because, like, the class halls, like, seem so insignificant. You go there, you do a couple missions and leave. Like, nothing else about the class hall matters. One thing I do miss about the garrison is that how important it did feel, because it actually did feel important. And then towards the end, it even got even better with it, allowing you to, like, decorate it yourself. Plus, you can customize it and stuff. There's just none of that in the class hall. The class hall is just some irrelevant place where you just click on a mission board and leave. Or even use the app and don't even go to your class hall, because you don't have to with the app. So class halls, I think, were a regression. But, like, at the same time, garrisons were, like, they were too easy. People missed the gold because they were too easy. Obviously, you logged in and collected tons of gold. I mean, that's not much work. I mean, people liked it because, you know, free gold and free WoW, but at the end of the day, we weren't really playing the game.
I haven't heard too many people say they don't like class halls, but that's an interesting point because, you know, I think what they're trying to do is make it a bigger picture thing and make it more inclusive. And what the one problem that people had with the garrisons is how you know, you were in there by yourself and that was it. And now with the class halls, it's, you know, you see tons of other people from your class running around. And so, but you're kind of saying that you've gotten the opposite vibe of that, that you go, there's no point in being in there other than, you know, some mission table stuff. And there is no, you know, there's no benefit from it.
I mean, for the most part, there aren't any real activities there. I mean, like, your auction house isn't there. You don't even have a mailbox there. So, I mean, like, if you're going there, you're going there to do something, not really to hang out, because there's nothing to do there except for your mission table, you know, collect your cash for the week on Tuesday and just do your research and artifact point spending. But otherwise, aside from small aggregations of people, you know, at the forge and whatnot, you're not interacting with anyone. You're not really doing anything there. You're just going there for a purpose and leaving. You spend your time in Dalaran instead if you're gonna spend your time anywhere.
Yeah, I hear you. Daryl, what do you feel about the class halls?
Yeah, it's an interesting point he makes, and I guess it makes sense. You know, it is true. We only go there for a purpose. It's, if I haven't done my missions on my app because I forgot or I got busy or whatever, I'll go and do those, and then, yeah, I'm pretty much out of there right away. Or I get a new trait and I go to level it up. But other than that, you know, as soon as I level that trait, I'm out of there, right? It's not the hangout place. It was a lot more involved, of course, during the leveling. But now that we've all hit 110, I can definitely see his point. But then if you look at Garrison's good riddance, as far as I'm concerned on those, I prefer the order halls to what they had done with the Garrisons, definitely.
I think Dalaran's perfect. I think even the return of Dalaran and the nostalgia, like, Dalaran was the right direction, and I'd rather spend time there than the class hall anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any other bonus questions you wanted to ask?
No, I don't think so. Do you got any?
No, I kind of took it into the Garrison tangent, so.
All right.
This is Hoofit, or Two Tongues, or Taylor, from The Training Dummies, and you're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob and Daryl.
Man, I love that guy. So good. I'm really glad he came back to hang out for 150. So,
yeah, that made a good show.
Hey, if you guys have any questions or comments or want to find out what we're doing, we are active on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland, and Daryl is at Hind_TTD. And this evening, we are talking with the DBM add-on author. And like I was mentioning earlier, it's probably one of the most must-have add-ons in gaming, even if you don't raid, or in Warcraft, rather. Even if you don't raid, even if you don't do a whole lot of serious stuff, it's just super, super helpful. Daryl, do you have any, like, maybe leading questions that you want to start with here?
Sure. So you had mentioned earlier in the beginning questions that you weren't the original author of Deadly Boss Mods. But what made you want to take over such a big project as writing this add-on or keeping it up to date?
I think it was during a Trial of the Grand Crusader. You know, they were doing like progression on a hard mode, and I was always seeing things in DBM that could be improved. Like, this doesn't have a timer, but it could have one, or this could have a better warning. So, you know, I started fiddling with it and improving it myself, and then I started submitting, you know, patches, you know, to the old DBM author, like, add this or add this, and, you know, improving upon it. And at a point, he's just like, you know what? Here's access to the repository. You know, push this stuff yourself. It seems to be all right. I'm like, okay. So I started pushing stuff myself. But, like, funny thing is, right after trial, anyone that was working on DBM quit the game. Like, going into ICC, the only person that was going to be pushing anything was me. And at that point, I'm like, well.
Oh, wow.
I kind of hit the ground, had to start running right away because I was still learning, you know, Lua. I wasn't actually, you know, the best coder in the world at the time. I'm still not perfect today, but I'm a lot better than I was back then. But I was stumbling through ICC and making the mods, and, you know, I made them, but the code wasn't all that great, but I always had good ideas. Like, just trying to come up with creative ideas. Like, when Rotface, I decided I wanted an arrow that pointed to wherever the tank was in the room at all times, so you know where to kite the oozes to, and to get them to the where they needed to be. And I was just doing creative things that, like, the original DBM never did. And then as I got better at coding over the years, I kept adding, you know, more creative things and more things, until Blizzard said, okay, it's enough things. We're taking some of them away.
Right. So walk me through the process of what that looks like to like, okay, so we got Nighthold coming out. None of us have seen any of that stuff. What does this look like for you to update Deadly Boss Mods for a brand new raid?
I mean, as an author, I've been working on it for a long time now. Like, Nighthold was literally tested like almost a year ago for the very first time in beta, because, you know, it was actually 7.0 content that they were testing in the beta. And I don't wait till live till I start working on it. You know, as soon as the beta or PTR is up, I'm downloading it, updating it, watching the raid schedule. As soon as something's posted on the raid schedule, I go immediately to, you know, the dungeon journal and Wowhead and do as much research as I can ahead of the fight. So I go, okay, well, this boss has this debuff. This one will probably need a rangefinder. This one will probably need a big warning that says, hey, GTFO and don't stand next to other people and stuff like that. And after I go through all that, I try to make the skeleton, you know, the preliminary mod without, before the fight's even tested. You know, I'll dry code some basic stuff. I'll use Bowhead to find spell IDs, be like, well, this looks like the right spell ID. It's not always the right spell ID, but most of the time I get it right. You know, over the years, you know, you kind of figure out, you know, what events and IDs Blizzard will use for things, and usually guess right with it, thanks to, you know, Wowhead's amazing data mining.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to your experience, obviously, too. If you're not just pulling stuff out of the air, you look at it and you go, okay, I see that this is going to be a, you know, a 3-stack debuff, and the tanks have to taunt to 3 stacks. So you go and put that in there. Whoever has aggro, then they, you know, the other person taunts at 3 stacks. I mean, that's a lot of experience that you have to be able to parse through these fights and look for the debuffs and look for everything. Do you work with anybody in beta or PTR or any, you know, any of the higher end raid teams to do this stuff?
I try to sometimes, you know, like in the earlier years, I didn't really have much help. So like, as a result, you know, DBM's day one support wasn't as good as it is now, but, you know, over the years I've made more connections and gotten more help. Like, most of the testing in early Legion beta, I actually did with two different guilds, actually. I did it with Openness, a Russian guild, and I also did a bunch of testing with Vodka before they disband or whatever.
Oh, okay, right on.
But, that's great. Sadly, they decided they weren't going to raid in Legion anyway, so at that point, it was there was a bit of pugging to do, because Openness isn't always able to make test schedules, because, you know, it's a Russian guild. Sometimes the hours are pretty god-awful, and, you know, they're not a sponsored guild, so they can't make awful hours like some of the top guilds can in EU. Mm-hmm. So my pugging struggled a little bit, but I also get some high-end guilds that don't let me test with them, but they do send me logs or send me notes, so I could at least, you know, I can plug the fight to see the mechanics with my eyes, then I can get better data from the guild that actually got further in the fight than me, and then I could use their data, but what I saw, and put the two together and, you know, make a pretty good mod from that.
So roughly how long does it take to code one fight, like start to finish?
It really depends on the fight. There's such a drastic difference between a fight, like, especially council fights or multi-phase fights, they're the worst, because like Blizzard has a tendency to make each phase feel like a different fight. Or a council fight where the boss has like 20 different abilities you have to go through and, you know, create warnings or functions for all of them. And then the council ones are more complicated, because after you create it all, then you're like, whoa, this information overload. I don't think this user wants 20 timers. So who needs to know what, you know, ranged. This one only targets ranged, this is a tank debuff only, etc. And then you have to go through the defaults and be like, this one's on by default for tanks, this one's healers, this one's ranged only, this one's melee. So that when someone actually uses the mod, although it might have 20 timers, it checks your spec, your role, and shows you only the timers relevant to you by default. Now obviously you can go into options and change that, but I try to make good defaults too. Which doesn't always come out perfect, because sometimes, you know, I miss something or I put something in wrong and you end up with the range with the tank warning sometimes. But, you know, I try to fix those kinds of things. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's one in particular then that I think was challenging and maybe still be challenging. How, like, the Ursoc fight. That one seems to like, either I don't understand it correctly, or the alerts and the notifications for that one seem to be off. Is something like that hard to write for, you know, for, I guess, the tank swap in particular?
The tank swap, I got, I mean, ultimately, as complicated as the fight looks like on paper, you actually just alternate. You literally just alternate and have the other tank taunt after every cast of whatever the boss casts, regardless of whatever he last cast. And if you just alternate, the debuff's always clear. But I put a lot of extra redundancies in DBM anyway to fix mistakes. Like, if you don't do it properly, DBM will detect it, and it will actually adjust the taunt warnings until you're correct again. Like, as long as you follow DBM, you will get back on track no matter how bad you screw up, because it'll fix it, because it always monitors what debuff you have, what cooldowns are remaining. So, for example, you did take a Ren Flesh you weren't supposed to. It will monitor how much Ren Flesh debuff you have left and whether or not you should take the next Overwhelm or not, even if you were technically supposed to take it originally.
Oh, wow, okay. So I am sitting there, like, panicking, because DBM is just yelling at me, taunt, and I'm like, I am taunting, it's on cooldown, oh my god. I'm like, I don't know what to do, but I guess I didn't understand that what it's doing is going, hey, you're out of sync here, I'm going to adjust for you, I'm going to make sure, you know, that... you know, whichever one falls off first, that you're taunting from the right one from that point. Is that how you're saying that?
Yeah, like it might actually tell you to taunt when you still have a debuff that would kill you, but it's already done the math and determined that, you know, by the time the boss casts his thing, the debuff on you will have fallen off.
Okay, that's amazing, dude. That's super amazing.
Yeah, like, I try to go above really and cool. Beyond simplicity on certain things. Sometimes the complexity actually creates new bugs. Like, I've been actually trying to get the Garm icons to be perfect on Mythic for a while now, because, you know, I could just do the basic thing that, like, other mods do and just apply icons to the initial debuffs and nothing else. I try to be fancy and apply the initial icons, and then anytime one of them is dispelled, it takes that icon and moves it to the dispel target and make sure it's the same icon when it moves it. And on top of that, it also checks the debuffs the player has, and if they don't actually need a dispel, it doesn't put an icon on them at all, because they don't need a dispel, they don't need an icon. So it's a little bit fancy, but of course, you know, fancy means broken sometimes. And, you know, sometimes it's really hard to QA something when you have to actually pull the boss repeatedly to get it right. Mm-hmm. I'm actually pretty confident it is right now. But actually, I was in the middle of fixing something when I pushed the release on Tuesday. So actually, the current release version does have broken icons as a side effect of I wasn't actually planning to do a release on Tuesday, but something caught me off guard. So it actually changed the spec API. They moved one of the args over and changed the returns. So I realized all that fancy stuff I was talking about earlier, where tanks get tank warnings and healers get healer warnings, etc., would have been broken if I hadn't released an emergency update to fix it. So I was like, well, what seems like a bigger issue? Broken Garm icons or broken spec detection? So ultimately, I'm like, I have no choice but to push the broken icons to fix the other issue.
Right.
But, yeah, the spec seems really important. Otherwise, you got DP, you know, you're yelling at DPS to dispel or taunt.
And the spec thing, I mean, like, I tested on the PTR. I always test on the PTR, but I missed the spec thing because, you know, it was so easy to overlook. Because, for one, the spec detection pretty much just treated all roles as a DPS. And I was a DPS when I was testing Nighthold on the recent PTR retests. The broken spec detection, I didn't notice it because it was still detecting my spec correctly. So
there you go.
Sometimes bugs get missed on the PTR, but, you know, I do my best to fix them right away. And
how much?
So this is kind of at your discretion when you push out updates and bug fixes. This isn't like the Apple Store where you submit something and then it takes, you know, however many days, weeks, and then finally gets put up, you know, gets approved to put up. If you push out an update and it gets fed through either directly or through Curse or whatnot, that's pretty much immediately, right? Once it queries your repository.
Yeah, in fact, my repository auto syncs to Curse and my own website. So you actually download test alpha versions that are within minutes of my commits to repository right away. Most people I just tell to set Curse Client to alpha version, especially Mythic Progression Raiders, if they want, you know, the cutting edge features or fixes, especially when, you know, Blizzard throws in random hot fixes and doesn't even always tell you sometimes, and sometimes I have to fix something, and the release version is not always current. I try to tag a new release every couple weeks, sometimes more, sometimes less. You know, it kind of depends on when in the tier it is. Like Nighthold, don't be surprised to see like two releases the first week, and then like at least a release every week for a little while.
Yeah.
But like later on, you know, it might be every 2 to 3 weeks, give or take, you know, depending on the number of fixes or issues. But ultimately, on the high-end raid scale, I pretty much recommend all users just use the alpha version, because that way they can get the latest fixes or improvements, but also they can just give feedback. Because sometimes I do get feedback for things under running the release version, and what they don't realize is what they're requesting is already in the alpha sometimes.
Oh, okay.
So if you're cutting edge or you're the kind of person that, you know, wants to help improve, then you definitely should be reusing the alpha version.
So if somebody has suggestions or feedback, do you get that a lot? Do they come directly to you? Do they use the Curse forums? Or what's the best way to reach you if somebody has a problem in particular?
They can open a ticket on Curse. They can reach out on Twitter, or they can just jump in the DBM Discord and ask there.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You guys said you have your own Discord over there, too, huh?
Yeah, I have my... the Discord's usually got a lot of people idling in it, especially a lot of supporters like to spend time in Discord so they actually can, you know, see what I'm doing. I actually post a lot of updates in the Discord sometimes. I actually toned down on posting updates on Patreon. I was doing weekly updates, but, like, I noticed that people don't actually like updates posted on there that much, because apparently, you know, email is annoying, and I figured that out, because every time I post an update on Patreon, I would lose pledges, because people would get emails and be like, "Arr, email!" So I started toning down on the posts there, and instead, you know, posting, you know, a link to, like, my work-in-progress changelog, or posting updates on Discord, and only posting stuff on Patreon when, you know, I do a new release, or something really important comes up that, like, tough luck if they don't like emails. They're going to get an update if they're subscribing.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny. We live in a time where email is annoying. Like, people are just over it.
Some people actually, first thing they ask, if I pledge, am I going to get email? I don't want email. I'm like, well, you can technically turn it off. I don't know where, because I don't turn it off, but I assume you could look for it and turn it off somewhere.
Yeah, that's good. How much time do you think you spend fixing bugs?
It can depend, and also, you know, various things, too. Like, when stuff's being tested on the PTR, I could easily put in, like, it sounds great, but sometimes it could feel like an 80-hour week because, you know, they'll start raid testing, like, around lunchtime, and that doesn't end until, like, after dinner time, you know, 7, 8 o'clock, and then after testing is done, then I've got, like, 2 or 3 bosses to go through, lots of wellhead data to sift through. I video all my polls, so I'm watching my video recaptures of the fights, so I could take notes there too, because sometimes there's things that you can't see in the logs, and when you're doing the fight for real, you don't have time to pay attention to everything, so I've got to go back to a video and slow motion it and look for things like, okay, when the boss casts this shockwave, does he look at the target he's targeting with the shockwave?
Wow.
So I'll put it in slow motion so I can watch my target frames and see if the boss switches to the shockwave target as he's casting it, so I know whether or not target scanning will work.
I have been a massive fan of DBM since the first day I ever installed it. But listening to you right now just gives me a whole new level of respect for the work and the attention to detail that you put in doing this stuff. Like, is it just a labor of love, or do you feel like this is important for the community and it's a good thing you like doing it? Or
pretty much all of it. Like, I enjoy doing it. I enjoy solving puzzles, and actually one of the biggest things I actually enjoy about raiding is figuring out how things work. Like, sometimes I don't even care if we kill the boss or not. Once I figure out how the boss works, I feel like I defeated the boss. Like, that was my goal. Like, my mod is done. I've defeated this boss. Next boss, please. Like,
I don't know about all y'all, but I beat the boss.
At that point, killing the boss is just so I can get to the next puzzle.
That's awesome, man. That's super cool. What do you feel like? Are you still going to continue to work on Trial of Valor and Emerald Nightmare? Or are those considered done, closed book for you? We're moving forward.
I actually never consider a mod done. I'm always, like, every time I do the boss, like I was mentioning earlier, DBM's a built-in debug mode. If you do /DBM, space debug, you actually get a bunch of stuff dumped in your chat, like debug mode will detect if a timer cooldown is too long, and then it print the chat timer refresh before expired by 0.1 seconds, adjust your timer by 0.1 seconds to fix it. Like, that's how I raid. So, like, when I notice debugs that print stuff for me to fix, I'll fix them, and then if I come up with new ideas or get new suggestions, I always consider whether they're worth the time investment to add. You know, sometimes if it's old content, I might have to shift it off to like a later milestone, be like, mm-hmm. Sorry, Nighthold is out now, so this feature request you made for Emerald Nightmare would take a little while, so I'm going to put it on the back burner to work on Nighthold, but it's not forever back burner. You know, as Nighthold settles down, I might go back and do it.
So it's reasonable for someone to come and say, hey, on Mythic Ilganoth, we're running into this. Can you help us? And you would, depending on whatever's on your plate, you would say yes or yes later or whatever that looks like, huh?
Oh, yeah. In fact, that's how the ooze marking came about. Someone approached me on Twitter and said, hey, can you make an auto mark oozes? I'm like, sure, no problem. So I added the first iteration. The code says, okay, find an ooze and mark it. And she's like, no. I want it specifically to mark the lowest health one at all times. And if another one drops in health, the icon gets moved to that one.
Oh, wow. Like,
so you wanted to auto-detect the lowest health ooze that's up. I'm like, okay, well, Blizzard added some fancy nameplate code, so I guess I could use that. So I scanned the health in all active nameplates at all times while doing the fight. Whatever health is the lowest, put an icon there. And that was the second iteration. And she's like, but once it's casting the explosion, we need to ignore its health and move the icon to the next lowest health. I'm like, okay, so we need a filter.
Oh, no.
So I added a fancy filter that detected, okay, if this ooze is casting explosion, it's now exempt from health scanning. Find the next lowest.
Mm-hmm.
That was iteration 3. And they're like, okay, that's progress. It's working pretty good. But the icon's bouncing around too much. Our DPS AOE too much, and they can't focus one target, and the icon's jumping all over, and they don't know what to attack. Can you add more filters? We're like, okay. So the fourth iteration was, once it set a skull, it was not going to move the skull for any reason until that ooze was casting its explosion. And that was the final iteration of the icon feature.
That's amazing.
Man, that is amazing that you actually went back and forth and put that much work into something like that. I know that's essentially one of the main things on how that fight works, but that's awesome that you were able to make that piece of it, finally come to a really good, solid way to address that.
Yeah, I try to do fancy stuff like that all the time. I really do miss the heads-up display and arrows, though. One of the saddest things was, during beta, I put dozens and dozens of hours into some of the most advanced features I ever made for DBM yet,
mm-hmm.
with arrows and lines and the total heads-up display. And then Blizzard announced, in 7.1, we're breaking all that. But this was after I'd already put dozens of hours making the features for Nighthold, because they didn't communicate ahead of time their intentions. They just let me put all that work in for something that nobody's ever going to see.
That's right.
So that kind of leads into another question here. I asked you before we had started, because I had noticed that I was doing some stuff earlier and the range radar was up, and I thought, oh my gosh, maybe 7.1.5 fixed that. So is that a thing? Is the range radar back?
Nope, it's still restricted as ever. The Blizzard just did their code in a way to where it doesn't work inside of PvP, arena,
mm-hmm.
5-man dungeons, raids, old or new. The old thing kind of bothers me because, you can't even go into ICC and use the features there. They literally said, if it is a raid, block it, period. So even features that were widely used, like Archimon, are broken now.
Oh, yeah, the when you guys got linked and all that. Yeah, the range radar was huge on fights like that too.
But the biggest annoyance really was just the radar. Like, I understand that they wanted to break certain things like automation. The add-on, in most of their interviews, they actually didn't mention DBM by name so much as they mentioned the extra tier raid tools the most, because that did automation that they didn't like with Ilganoth, Cormorak, and the other one with the auto, like, all right, here's an arrow, this is where you go to soak. Go there now, and it did that automatically.
Yeah, yeah.
That is what pushed their buttons the most to break things.
Hmm. So the range radar works in outdoor situations like world bosses and some other stuff, but it's still completely off the table for most intensive purposes.
And the range radar working outdoors is just an after effect of what they really wanted to not break was TomTom and stuff like that, you know, Carbonite, if that's even still around. They basically wanted to make sure the quest helpers could still actually help you and not be useless. So,
okay. Yep.
Because those have to work, my features also have to work outdoors. That's just, you know, the way it is. I just coded DBM in a way. It actually has a very simple check. Before it tries to use an arrow or anything else, it just checks your current position. And if it doesn't return nil, it knows the restrictions aren't enabled, and then it shows the features.
So Raiders Tavern on Twitter asked us when he heard you were coming on, how many people had blamed you for the broken arrows since patch 7.1?
A significant number, actually. I was getting forum posts.
People are mad at
people
you.
people on Twitter. People were even opening bug reports on Curse saying, hey, the latest patch broke the arrow. Can you fix it? And this, that, and the other. And I was constantly telling people.
No.
No. In fact, and I tried to communicate as best I could. In advance, I'd put out a post on our forums, on Patreon, and even in-game I was actually showing messages. Like, every time you typed in /range, I was like, oh, by the way, enjoy this feature while it lasts because it's going to be gone soon. Oh, like, every time you type slash, like, range 8 or something in a raid, it printed a message in chat saying, this is going bye-bye soon. And despite all that and trying to push the information out that, you know, it was Blizzard's fault, not mine, I still got blamed quite a bit. And I had to link people, like, hey, read this blog post from Blizzard or read my forum post, you know, on what specifically you're going to see go away in DBM and why it's gotten away. And eventually, people understand, like, once I put them to the right things, you know, they don't really give me a hard time so much as they were just uninformed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that the way the people are, though? Like, if they have to put in any effort, sometimes that's how I am. Hey, this kind of came up in one of our guild chats the other day, because when we said we were going to have you on, and one of the guys was asking, like, do you look at stuff like you had mentioned Exorcist Ray Tools and Bigwigs? Do you go and look at what they're doing to take any inspiration or any ideas or see things that you just want to shy away from?
I try not to really look at other people's works because I don't really want it to influence my own work. I kind of try to do things as much my own way as possible, and that's usually not an issue because I'm usually the first to do them anyway, because I put a lot more time into PTR and beta now that I do this full time than the other authors, which are still, you know, more like doing it in their free time as opposed to full time. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like not a critique towards, you know, their time investment versus mine. It's more to just the benefits of actually being, you know, crowdsourced on Patreon and what it enables me to do for the mods and actually do things faster and better with the time that I have.
I actually like hearing that you're just kind of, you're doing your thing. You're just trying to do it right and do your best and do right by the people that are supporting you.
There are actually times that, like, when sometimes, like, in my raid particularly, there's actually three people who use Bigwigs and the rest use DBM. And when I catch conflicts, like if I notice the icons don't match, like we don't do a certain mechanic the same way, and then I actually will pull up their mod and be like, okay, well, how are they doing it and how am I doing it? And is there any way I can improve this mismatch so, you know, raids that are running both mods have more compatibility?
God, you're not kidding.
I might look at something and I don't always agree with it either. Like, I don't actually agree with how they do Garm. And at first, I actually matched how they did it. But eventually, you know, I always try to make it more customizable. So when DBM has an option to do it both ways, the big rigs way or the DBM way is a checkbox, and basically in the mod at the bottom. And that's actually come up a lot. Like, there's Arkhamon, I did the same thing. I did the same thing in Zakun, where basically there was the default way, which is usually matching other mods so that there's minimal conflict. And then there's the my ways, which is like, enable this at your peril, but make sure your entire raid's at the same page, on the same page, or you're going to have conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
What would you... So we got Nighthold coming next week, and you've been talking about a lot of the fancy features that you like to put in. Is there something that you have put in for Nighthold that you're really proud of, or is an exciting new feature or something for DBM?
There was a very exciting new feature that I was very proud of, and nobody's ever going to see it.
Because they broke it.
I actually spent many hours developing, basically probably what they... One of the main reasons they broke the stuff was because the time I put into something like this was I use a lot of positional data and to try to calculate where the boss was in the room, because you can't actually detect where the boss is naturally. They blocked that from the API. But I was triangulating off the tanks and the other melee in the raid to determine, okay, well, they're all probably by the boss, and I'll try to get an approximate position of the boss. And then from that, for things like Swarm on Tichondrius, or Illyrial's dashes, where she sends mirror images that dash outward, or Illisan's beam attack that also comes from her body, I was actually drawing arrows on the heads-up display from the boss to the players to make it easier to dodge the attacks for the ones not targeted by just moving away from the arrows.
Wow.
And all those features will never be seen by anyone.
I know, that's unfortunate.
Broken. But the thing is, all features are still in the mods. So people are probably still going to ask questions sometimes, and they open up the mod and say, hey, what's this mean? Show a heads-up display for this. But that doesn't work anymore. I'd be like, yeah, but I spent so many hours making it, I just left it in there. I didn't have the heart to actually just delete it.
that makes sense.
It's not going to cause issues. It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, who knows? Maybe an 8.0 or 8.1 Blizzard might go, we made a mistake. Let's give them their toys back.
Right.
And I'll be like, yay, all the stuff that just magically works again.
Nice.
It'll probably never, ever, ever happen, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
There's always a hope.
So
that
all
work
this...
I did will be seen.
So all the stuff that won't be seen, is there something that will be seen that you're proud of or that we can look forward to?
Honestly, my favorite feature that is actually not that... Well, I mean, it's somewhat new to this expansion, but not new to Nighthold, is my AI timers. When I don't know the cooldown of an ability yet, I actually switch it to a new feature I call the AI timer, which basically, at all times during the fight, it times the amount of time that passed between two different casts and calculates the cooldown based on that, and then starts a timer for it after only seeing the spell twice.
After one pull
of the boss, even if no timers are built into the mod, on pull two, you magically have timers for the boss using the AI timers. And this is how all timers are coded to begin with, and to start with, until I get the actual hard data and change them over to real timers. For the most part, they work well, but sometimes boss abilities aren't cooldowns but sequenced. Like Arkhamon Phase 3, you know, it was a random string of numbers. They were always the same pull to pull, but like... It was so random that the AI timers would never be able to figure it out on their own. Like, that's when they don't really work well.
Right.
But for the most part, they work pretty awesome. And actually, because no one really got, at least no one that's sharing, got very far on Gul'dan, on live, phase 2 and 3 are going to rely entirely on AI timers.
Oh, okay.
Only phase 1 is actually hard-coded.
Huh.
Well, that's just going to be one of those ones that you're going to have to wait and see. You know, hopefully somebody will send you some logs or some data, you know,
I'll fix Illisan and Gul'dan on week 1 are going to need work, and Chronomatic Anomaly is going to need work. In fact, I'm confident that on normal mode, Chronomatic Anomaly is going to be upside down and totally backwards wrong, because Blizzard pretty much went to the drawing board in that fight after they tested it on normal and changed like everything.
Oh, okay.
They retested Heroic and only retested Heroic. So I was able to fix Heroic, but I saw how drastically they changed it.
Okay.
I know Mythic, Normal, and Looking for Raid are all going to be totally wrong.
Huh.
Because the data I have is just obsolete. I'm some of it almost a year old now.
Oh, yeah, wow. You're right. I remember when that stuff was being... it was actually raid. They were raid testing before Legion even came out, huh?
Right.
So do you have any big stuff coming up that's like, you know, now that you're... This is your thing and you're kind of doing this full-time. Do you have any plans like to kind of take DBM outside the box a little more or to work on something, a different add-on or something else? Do you have anything that you want to... that you can spill the beans on? Or?
I'm pretty much focused on DBM, like no other side projects. I'm always looking for ways to improve it from little things like adding what time the break will end to the break timer,
mm-hmm.
to improving the way timers and everything show to make it easier to read. Like I've still been doing more work on adding icons on the timers and color coding them better and just trying to improve some of the back ends too. Like some of the work in Legion hasn't actually been on new features so much as cleanups and just overall going back to stuff that's really, really old and making it less old. Because most of Mists was pretty much new feature, new feature, new feature. So many new features were added to the mod in Mists that Legion is mostly just cleanup and not so much new features.
Well, and we know now that a lot of that stuff's been taken away, so I don't even know what you know, if it's in maintenance mode at this point and just in upkeeping and fine tuning, or if you're looking for new features to put in.
I'm always looking for both. But like at this point, there's also there aren't that many new features left to put in. So much as the biggest thing DBM needs right now is a sledgehammer taken to the GUI and redone from scratch. But like that's such a massive undertaking.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably not on the table for anytime soon. Like one of the biggest issues with DBM right now. Is most people don't even use half the features it has because they don't know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like the notes feature, I might find one person out of 1,000 that actually knows it exists.
I didn't.
Uses it.
Wait, hold on. There's a notes feature.
What, exactly.
What does that do?
You can go in the option at any special warning. You can click on a little paper icon and add a note to it. So, like, say you want to put healer cooldowns directly in the DBM, you can. So, like, cast one, it can show. Healer 1, cast 2, we can show healer 2, etc. I've actually got videos on it.
Straight up, like, call people out by name.
Yeah. And when,
oh,
and
wow.
On top of that, if you add a note with your name into, like, the note has your name, it'll show a different flash and play a different sound, so you know it's your turn.
Oh, my goodness.
See, that's amazing. Like, that's like, yeah, when we're talking about who's going to dispel at this point, who's gonna use white cooldowns, and you know, like that's pretty amazing, man. I never knew there was a note feature.
It's pretty awesome. Like if you go to deadlybossmods.com and then go to the features and guides section, you mm-hmm. have an old demo video of Orgorger with all the interrupt assignments placed in notes, so you can see it going through the entire interrupt rotation, calling out names, and showing a custom flash when it's my turn.
Wow.
Oh, that's nice, because I know,
impressive.
You know, generally I'll just count or wait, or, you know, we're all, like, kind of uber competitive about stuff, and it's whoever gets the interrupt first, and you got classes like Demon Hunters now that actually benefit, and I'm not sure if Warriors still do or not, but they benefit from getting a successful interrupt that it actually rewards them with some of their resource. And it's a huge deal. So lining those up and making sure someone's not stepping on someone else is kind of a good idea.
And another thing I've been trying to push more and more, but people are still like not really trying it or just not aware of it. Is DBM is trying to shift most of the warnings to voice packs. So because fights aren't as simple as they used to be. You know, bosses used to have 2 or 3 abilities, and you know the hardest mechanic was dispelling this role repeatedly. But like these days. There's so many abilities that people start to drown out the basic sounds. So I tried to do my first attempt to fix that was custom sounds. Like any special warning for any boss mm-hmm. in the game, you can go and change and put a custom sound on it. Like per warning, custom sounds if you want to. But most people still don't do that. So the voice pack solutions will be a bit more automated. And there's like a lot of blogs on the website. Two for that and how that came about. That's basically a collaboration mostly. I don't actually make the voice packs. I just make the APIs and all the warnings and the mod. And a third party makes the voice pack. But therein lies the problem too. Because the voice pack is third party, it does not come with the mod. and does not come configured automatically. Yeah. So most people don't use it, so most people don't know about it.
I know that, I guess now I'm understanding that, because I know Coltrane from, he was on the Convert to Raid podcast, he, you know, there's a way to go in and enable his voice in there, but I don't know if that stuff's all by default. I have a voice pack right now that I don't know what her name is, but it's a gal from Australia, so she's got that accent, and it's, you know, she's talking
voice pack.
Taunt now. Yep, that's and taunt now and get out of the bad and go and do this. And you know, and it's like, you know, a lot of those alerts now that I've kind of really grown accustomed to, and it's not just me trying to watch a timer or me looking for a flash or this or that. You know, it's actually somebody, you know, taunt now, do this, do that. And I'm like, oh, you know, and it's, I don't know, it's, I'm pretty reliant on DVM at this point.
Yeah, that's actually exactly the feature I'm talking about, and you have to download that separately. I know she works in her voice pack, but I think her voice pack isn't always current. Like, it might actually be missing sound files because, you know, she doesn't really play WoW anymore. I know her personally, and she doesn't really – I mean, she upkeeps it a little bit, but, you know, generally the best voice packs are probably the VEM-based voice pack or some of the other ones. I mean, for the most part,
I know there's like the Heroes of the Storm one too, and it had like the pirate guy and all that stuff.
That's just awesome. Countdowns. The countdowns are just, they don't actually have, they're not full voice packs. They just, just like Coltrane, he's not a full voice pack, he's just a countdown. In fact, though, one of my hopes was, like, before Legion came out, I actually approached Coltrane and asked him to make a voice pack that I can include with DBM by default.
Oh, man, that would be wonderful.
It could be a base voice pack that wasn't third party, so I could include it by default. But he just didn't have time. Like, he was going to do it, but, like, real-life stuff came up, and he never actually got to it. So it's still on the back burner. But I still hope one day he has time to make me a full voice pack. And then the Coltrane voice pack would come with DBM by default. And then that would help a lot of people migrate over to voice packs out of warning sounds that they pretty much tune out because they all sound the same.
Well, you know.
Well, yeah, you hear the one like that I got a hold of at the top of the show when it says "Run away, little girl," but it has like a little horn right at the beginning of it, and it's like a lot of those sounds you've heard for so long, but you don't know you hear them, and you hear the sound, and you know whatever, but you don't know specifically what that sound means. You've just heard it for years, you know, and it's like, oh, run away, but what does that mean? You know, you have to get 10 yards away, you have to move away from the range, or you know, or don't stand next to a person, or you. So I really like the idea of hopefully that becoming default or native, you know, being able to get some like you said, like Coltrane in there.
Actually, one of the things I actually try to improve a lot towards the end of Mists, and or not the end of Mists, the end of Draenor and the beginning of Legion, a lot of the warnings have been changed to be a lot more specific, especially in Legion. Like, a lot of the warnings in past might just say run away. But, like, if you actually read the text on warnings these days, it'll say move away from other people, or it'll say move behind pet, or move behind ads, or move to land, move to water, like I do in Eye of Ashura.
Yep, that's the second fight in there.
The warning text, I try to be more specific, but even still, without the voice packs, you still don't have as quick of a reaction time.
Right.
Reading it, because there's a lot of stuff going on and you might miss the text, or you just might not read it fast enough. And if you have a voice pack installed, it'll actually say to you aloud, get in the water, you know, get on the island.
Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this, what you need to do is go to Twitter and look up Coltrane. I believe it's the_Coltrane. Look him up, send him a note, ask him when is his DBM voice pack going to be official.
Well, there's also another option, like I know Coltrane's very busy, but I do know two guys who do this podcast called The Training Dummies who have lots of free time.
I don't know if you want to hear me.
Probably not.
If you want to make a voice pack, all you got to do is download the voice pack demo. It's basically, it has all the sound files that you need to record there, and like you basically play it and be like, okay. And you record your own version and replace it. So basically, you replace all the sound files until they're all replaced, and then you just make it your own.
Nice.
I may have to test that out. Come up with some really ridiculous stuff.
Just install it for R rate. That'd be awesome.
Yep.
My ultimate dream is a Samuel L. Jackson voice pack.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be That would be magnificent.
I won't give examples over, you know, this, because you obviously know what a Samuel L. Jackson voice pack would sound like. But that's my ultimate dream. But unfortunately, I don't think I can send a guy a tweet on Twitter and say, hey, make me a voice pack. He'd probably have some choice words.
Mm-hmm. No, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It would be really effective to have that voice pack, though. I feel like I would respond to that really well.
So. Oh, I think a lot of people would. There actually is an Arnold Schwarzenegger voice pack, but the quality is really bad because basically took voice clips from like all his movies and even speeches he did when he was a politician and spliced his stuff together. So like all the words are correct, but like there's pitch shifting, there's bad editing cuts.
The quality is that's too bad.
There's humor into using it for like one raid. But after that, you're like, okay, I can actually use this all the time.
So are there any out right now that you recommend?
There's actually a lot out, and there's even several localization ones. Like there's actually a Korean one that's very, very current. It pretty much stays up to date at all times. So if you're a Korean user, you could actually use a voice pack that's just as current as the VEM voice pack. The best default for English is VEM because it will always have the latest files. I work directly with them. Like I'll actually send a message to them to be like, I want 5 new voice files for this encounter. And they make them, and then they release an update, and then I release an update once the voice files are out to use
them. That's awesome.
Like, Mythic Odin is actually so much easier if you use a voice pack because it actually specifically tells you to run to, you know, which rune you need to run to.
It's going to be hard to replace the sexy Australian accent that I've got.
I mean, you probably might not have to. I mean, for the most part, I do a lot of reusing, so I don't need new voices that often. But I do know her voice pack is probably missing about 10 sound files right now. And, you know, when Nighthold comes out, I might get more ideas. Like, sometimes a fight just needs something that's a little too specific that I can't just use a generic, like, Whirlwind, Move Away, or Range 5 or something, you know. The basics I can reuse over and over again. But, like, if it's very specific, like, jump over this and then do this and do that and do this all at the right time, you know, it needs a very specific recording.
So I have a request. Since I've got you here, captive audience, I'm going to go for it. So you mentioned the DBM break timer earlier. And this I don't know how you could do it, but I feel the DBM break timer could use some modifications. Because if we set our break timer for 5 minutes, it's like 8 minutes and everyone's maybe back. So what we did to counteract that is we started doing a break timer for 6 minutes. Like, okay, we'll give them an extra minute. But now it's like 10 minutes. Our breaks are before everyone's back. So is there any way that you could put something in to get, if we say DBM break 6 minutes, everyone's back after 6 minutes?
I mean, I pretty much already did that in like 2 releases ago. If you do a DBM break timer now, it'll say break started, break will end, and then it'll give the exact time the break will end.
All right.
And then when break does end, it reprints that same time so when people get back, they can look at it and know that they're 4 minutes late. Like, it doesn't just tell you the break is 6 minutes long. It tells you break is 6 minutes and to be back at 1:23.
Nice.
Like, I think it tells you
what time
is
to be back, and I just added this feature like a few weeks ago.
I think the core problem is that the longer we stretch these breaks out, the longer people take. Like, so whatever you say, they just automatically add 2 to 3 minutes on top of that. So maybe we are going the wrong direction.
I know. Maybe we
need to say
break timer
you
in
2 minutes.
Break
and, yeah.
All right, Rob. Do you have any other questions? Like, I know we're
not
getting late here this evening.
No, I do not have any more questions, but I do have a comment from Cinder on Twitter that she said she has no questions, but just a huge amount of thanks. And I think that after being able to chat with you here tonight, I cannot echo that enough. Like, I just didn't really see the big picture of how much effort and blood and sweat and love you have poured into this thing and actually how awesome it is because of how much you care about it. So thank you so much. That is massively from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate it.
I'm always happy to listen to all feedback and especially bug reports. One thing I actually find that happens too often still, even like with the Patreon and everything else, people don't always report issues. They just kind of get used to them. And I want all issues to be reported. I want people to know there's an open communication. And they should share all feedback, even if it's negative. Like, they don't like something, they should tell me. Because if I don't know they don't like it, I can't really improve upon it or fix it. And I try to make the mod good for everyone. Like, I realize that there's different strategies and different tastes. So oftentimes, you know, the same thing might need five different approaches, but I'm not against adding all five approaches to the mod. You know, sometimes I just add a drop-down menu in there. Like going back to Zakun, there was literally a drop-down that said, okay, this is the way my raid does seeds. And you pick one of four different ways that DBM can handle it. You know, not everyone has the same idea, but doesn't mean that all ideas can't be included, and you just choose it from a menu.
See, I didn't even know that was in there. I'm learning so much about this add-on personally. Like, this is amazing. It really is.
That goes back to the UI is just pretty terrible. The UI hasn't changed since, like, Wrath.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's changed, but, like, for the most part, it's just been, like, let's shove a button in here, a checkbox in there.
Right.
It hasn't been overhauled. It's just been retrofitted, you know. I'll shove all new features where they need to go to make them work. But for the most part, if you really want to be a DBM power user, I try to write guides for just about everything. They're on deadlybossmods.com. Best advice I can give, at least with the current UI, since it's not like being overhauled like anytime soon. Just go to the webpage, click on the guides subforum, and there's guides for notes, how to do voice packs, where to download them, how to customize sounds, even how to add your own sounds at DBM that aren't in there by default. Like, I actually have a Kefka laugh and Dalek sound effects in my DBM, but I can't include them with the mod because obviously they're not like free to use sounds.
Yeah.
I remember the day I discovered in Kata that you could have DBM skip cutscenes for you, and that was a wonderful, magical day in my life.
That's always an interesting story behind that. That actually had a bug in the Legion launch. It was skipping cutscenes it wasn't supposed to.
It
made people really unhappy on a broken shore to the point where, like, I actually got an open dialogue with people who work at Blizzard about it.
Oh, no.
Like, they followed me on Twitter and were sending me DMs and stuff, and we were talking back and forth. They're like, yeah, I fixed the bug, but sorry about that. Just tell everybody it's fixed and download the update.
It was great, like I said, in Kata, where we had killed, you know, we had done Dragon Soul however many dozens of times, and, you know, there was only so many times you wanted to watch yourself skydiving off the airship onto Deathwing's back, or you know, after you kill Altraxian and all that stuff. So that was great, but, like, coming into new content, new expansion, new stuff, not so much. You kind of want to see those moments.
Yeah, the biggest issue is that the API, like, Blizzard's API is not very good. Like, they've actually got two different APIs for movies. They have, like, one where they play, like, a cinematic-like cutscene, and that has, like, a movie ID, and that was an easy filter. And then they have the other one that's, like, a sort of a non-cinematic cutscene, and those, they don't have actual movie IDs. So the only way you can filter them correctly is to actually check, like, the current zone, the current map, even the current floor, and try to filter it that way. But it gets even more complicated when they have two or three cinematics on the same floor, like they had in Auchendoon. So if you filter one, you filter them both, even though you've only seen the first one. Like, there's no clean way to do it properly. And just if they just improved the API, we could do a lot more, not just DBM, but other add-ons too. We could do a lot more in filtering them better without accidentally filtering, you know, where we're not supposed to. For the most part, DBM's base code is to always play a movie once, regardless. After that, always filter it. That's the default setting. And that just didn't... And it also has a check in it. If not an instance, don't run at all. But if in an instance, follow this rule. Play once, filter from then on. And where it went wrong with the Broken Shore was that it was an instance. So it was treating it like a dungeon or a raid. And, you know, it did not skip the movies the first time. No one actually missed the cinematic because of DBM. They just didn't see it a second time on their alt or whatever. Didn't know what was going on because, you know, some people actually wanted to see it a second time. And that's when I fixed it by, you know, disabling it in scenarios and situations where it might cause an issue in future expansions.
Right. Cool. Do you have any last final points you wanna leave with this or discuss about DBM before we start wrapping things up a bit?
Not really. Just I try to post often about updates. So if you want to just keep following what I'm doing and what I'm working on, hop into DBM's Discord or follow or even pledge on Patreon. You know, all the support helps. Support's actually been dropping a little bit over the holiday season, and it's actually back down to almost a bare minimum, so I actually need more support right now to keep things rolling at the pace they're currently rolling. And also, check out deadlybossmod.com, you know, read some of the guides, you know. There are a lot of features there that people don't realize are there, and if they check out some of these features, they'll get a lot more of the mod than what they currently get.
Yeah, it's, I've learned quite a bit already. There's lots of stuff that I just don't know about the add-on. Like, it's very plug and play, but as you're mentioning, there's lots of cool, neat little things inside if you delve into it. All right,
yeah, I'm no artist, so when it comes to actual prettiness and designing a UI, mm-hmm. it's not very pleasant, especially in Lua, because you can't just draw the UI either. You have to literally trial and error, you know, define pixels and boxes and sliders and. It's actually really, really ugly to design a UI in add-ons. You pretty much end up with a square with a few checkboxes and sliders in most add-ons because that's pretty much the easiest way to do it. Doing anything super fancy and beautiful is so hard. Like, it's a lot harder than actual all the other stuff combined.
All right. Well, you can send us an email at the show at thetrainingdummies.com if you have anything to add to this topic or have questions about future topics. Also, please feel free to leave us a voicemail over at thetrainingdummies.com, or you can talk with us anytime on our Discord server, and you can get to that at discord.me/TTD.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you have for shoutouts tonight?
Definitely Mystical for coming on, because that was like, you know, for somebody like me who's been using it for years, that was just a kind of eye-opening to understand what all goes into it. So definitely Mystical, definitely Jab and Justin, who have been really supportive and helpful in me in my endeavor to get through all these tunes up to 110 and get through the class campaigns and all that stuff. And I had another one, but I can't remember, so I apologize to whoever you are. Daryl, what do you got?
I got to give a big shout-out to our Gildy Alley. When TCD did our original Heroic Xavius kill, I couldn't make it that evening. My wife had her staff Christmas party that evening, so I was her designated driver. So anyway, I wasn't able to make it to the raid that evening. And due to the Christmas holidays and several other factors, we haven't had a chance to get back in there to get me the kill. So what Allie did this evening was she has another group that she raids with, and they brought me in for just Xavius this evening, so I did get my ahead of the curve and my heroic Xavius kill. So a big thank you to Allie and your other raid group. That was very much appreciated. Of course, Mystical for coming on this evening and talking about DBM. It was enlightening. I wasn't entirely sure what all we would discuss, but it flowed really well, I thought, and we actually learned a lot. I know I did about DBM's features and how much actual work goes into creating this add-on that so many people rely on for everything from world bosses to five-man's heroic raids, all the raids, all the dungeons and everything. So it's really appreciated that you do this for us, and thank you very much for coming on the show this evening.
There's actually one correction that needs to be made. I just realized I totally screwed up one thing. The guild that was helping me on Legion, it wasn't Blood Legion, it was Vodka, and fixing that would be very important.
There you go.
Because I said Blood Legion, but I meant Vodka, but like both guilds were similar and both died, so like my right. brain farted and said the wrong guild. I don't want to miscredit the wrong guild and then blow off the one that actually did help me.
Right.
I don't know how you can edit that or not.
We might be able to make a fix for you. Is there any other shout-outs you have this evening?
Any what?
The shout-outs for anyone?
A big shout-out to Diani, too, Helocentric. You know, she helped a lot. She made a lot of the Wowhead guides, but also me and her collaborated a lot. I helped her with her guides, and she helped me with my mods. You know, we both had similar purposes, you know, in our testing. We both were trying to figure out how fights worked, and, you know, she wrote all the guides for Nighthold and Emerald Nightmare on Wowhead, and I wrote all the mods for them, so, you know, we collaborated a lot, and we helped each other a lot. Now she works at Blizzard, so she's not doing the guides anymore. Now it's someone else, but it was really nice to work with her a lot and collaborate a lot, so definitely a shout-out to her.
All right. Before we wrap up this episode, where can people reach you if they have more questions about Deadly Boss Mods?
They can follow me at Deadly Boss Mods Twitter account, or they can follow my personal account at MysticalOS. I pretty much tweet most of the official DBM stuff from the DBM account, but I do tweet a lot of personal or development notes from the personal account. And then there's also my Discord server, which is open to all. You know, you don't have to actually be a supporter to, you know, join Discord. You can come in, get help, and or just talk and hang out. You don't actually have to get help. You can just hang out with other like-minded players. And then the website, too, or even if you prefer, you know, to open a ticket on Curse, you can just give feedback there. It doesn't have to be a bug either. Some people make suggestions.
Awesome. Well, I believe that wraps up episode 151 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show over on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics, so until next time...
It's advice you can trust from people you shouldn't. Woo!